Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We look forward to your questions, comments on the subject. The issue today, we're talking about all is not well yet. Now, you might say, what does that mean? Very simply put, all is not well yet. Somehow there's a mindset in the hearts and lives of some that if we can just bring in the socialist, Marxist, communist, democrat, utopian reign, that everything will be all right. There's some that are saying today that everything's great. There's no problem, that the midterm elections are already in the bag, and we don't have to worry about it. All is not well yet. There's some that are saying that, well, you know, there's been Christian persecution in the past, and we don't have to worry about it. All is not well yet. There are those that say that, well, you know, we survived the COVID pandemic, or should I say plandemic, and we survived it, so everything is okay. No, everything is not well yet. There's still so many things that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand and recognize that is taking place in our nation. The socialists, for example, I'm looking at a headline, socialist leaders live in a $1.5 million townhouse. The durable truth, this article says, is rich kids love socialism. It's a psychological quirk. It's the collusion between two different yardsticks, from political legitimacy and its policies coherent versus personal authenticity, and a media ecosystem that punishes the first when the second looks compromised. So what is that saying? There's the mindset today that utopia is on the way, that all we need to do is put the socialist, Marxist, communist in office, and everybody will have equal share on everything. Well, it's not well yet. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some major, major, major issues that we need to recognize and talk about today. Because when you look at the scripture, I call it the truth book, because in John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. You've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I say again, the Bible does not contain truth. It is truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, it is the truth book. And we need to understand the need today in society is to know the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That's to know the truth book. And the scripture Jesus speaking says, if we are his disciples, we're going to study the word. If we study the word, we'll know the truth, and it's the truth that'll make us free. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Yet we have those today that deny truth, reject truth. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. If you don't believe that, just get out there and talk about the dangers of socialism, communism, and Marxism. You get out in the marketplace and you talk about the dangers of Islam and what is taking place with its incremental and yet now rapid pace destruction of the our society that we're living in today, the Constitutional Republic. You have those that will deny that, reject that, get in your face and say, it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a profound statement. He said, America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And then he goes through much detail of the areas of truth that we have discovered that's lost, dead, darkened, and we have deviated from. I believe that it's time we get back to the truth book. We find in the latest survey of the millennials, some 55% say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Their statement happens to be, each person determines their own version of truth. Another headline that I'm reading that should get our attention, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. We broadcast each and every day on Truth Network, and as we speak about truth, we need to face the issues, realizing that truth is the centrality, the foundation stone of all that we say or do. This article states that the three major areas that have deviated from truth do not believe there's absolute truth: government, the media, and academia. And we find that to be factually true today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote Hus, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day for our listeners, to live it, love it, learn it, and stand and be willing to defend it even to death. And listen, you might say that's a harsh statement. I believe we're on the fast track for that day in America where there will be total destruction if we stand for truth, where there will be a total rejection of the moral, ethical, biblical foundations that we stand on today. Psalms 11:3 says, "If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do?" We'll have no evangelism. We'll have no church. We'll have no open Bible opportunity. We'll have no freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of speech, etc., etc., etc. That'll be all over and done with if these that are moving to control our nation take place in that position of hierarchical leadership and authority. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor equipment, power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, how do I find that? Good question. Ladies and gentlemen, at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road, there's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows U.S. flag Old Glory 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about variety of things today. The trickle-down effect is we're going to be interviewing Dr. Reed Sheftall. Dr. Sheftall is a retired, now retired, heart surgeon, plastic surgeon, and a professional golfer in days gone by. And Dr. Sheftall is with us. We're going to talk about his latest book that I believe that every Christian, every conservative, everyone listening to the sound of my voice needs to go online and buy one. It's called SARS-CoV-2 Virus, A Forensic Investigation. And you can go to conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore, find it on the bookstore, put it in, the SARS-CoV-2 Virus, A Forensic Investigation. We'll talk about that book, some of the things in it, why you should read it, why you should have it in just a few moments. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tie up some loose ends and get to our callers, and then we'll introduce Dr. Sheftall and let him take it from there. We're in a society today that I've said, touched on briefly just a moment ago, where there's a mindset that we're going to get into the utopian era, utopian age. Ladies and gentlemen, Lenin tried that. Hitler tried that. Mao tried it. We have those, ladies and gentlemen, in history past that tried that mindset, promising the general populace that it would be a utopian era. The end result was according to history, about 250 million people were slaughtered in the process of the hierarchy putting their thumb on the underlings and starving them to death or putting them to death. We see that taking place at a small scale today, but yet happening in Iran, and yet touching on that subject. It's not all well yet, as the title, the issue that we're talking about today, it's not finished in Iran. The hot war has reignited. You've heard me say for a year that it's not going to be over with Iran. You've heard me say that based on the authority of Ezekiel 38 and 39, Iran will survive and be dominated by Russia and led by Russia with five other allied nations, including Turkey, and Libya, and Iran, and Egypt, ladies and gentlemen, coming against the little postage stamp called the nation of Israel. And I believe that we're seeing today the setting of the stage, the chessmen being put on the chessboard, waiting and planning for that to ultimately break out. I've simply called it the coming World War III. Ezekiel 38 and 39 outlines the events we're seeing today, the precursor to those events of Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we need to understand the emphasis. It's not well yet. It's not over yet. It's not done yet. Because in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says in the last days, perilous time shall come. Not maybe, not perhaps. Perilous in the Greek text means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, deadly. We're living in those days today. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, verses 3 and following, that in the last days you'll have false prophets. We call them false preachers today. I won't get into that. All you've got to do is roll the dial, look at the internet, and find all kinds of false doctrine, false theology, phony false doctrinal things that's supposed to be biblical truth taking place. The Bible tells us in that we'll have increase in wars and rumors of wars. We'll see a variety of diseases and disasters taking place. We'll see the increase of national diseases and disasters with fires and floods and famines and earthquakes. And ladies and gentlemen, may I simply say that we need to understand that that is rapidly taking place today. We're witnessing and watching what shall be the last of the last days. Just in the recent 2 or 3 days news, you've heard of the flood in Nepal, the major catastrophic event. I can watch some of that video footage on television. It just staggers the imagination. And then just over the weekend, we're in the west, out west, where you have Grand Canyon. A flood took place in Grand Canyon, wiped out major campsites, etc., etc. At least one is known dead. Quite a few missing, ladies and gentlemen, in that. And we've seen the hurricanes, the disasters, the tornadoes, the floods, the fires, etc., etc. What does all that mean? It simply means that God's handiwork is coming to fruition just as God said it would. God said that will happen in the last days. And we're witnessing that today, ladies and gentlemen. Before we introduce Dr. Sheftall and interview him, we've got a caller on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I'm less than 100 also. I remember in the 8th grade, it was called ABC. I don't know if you remember that, Americanism versus Communism, course. And it was demanded that you took it.
Yes.
And these young people now, they do not understand. They think they're correct. You got to look at Mao, Stalin. You got to look at all the people that said that socialism, which is communism, it'll work. They know how to do it. No, they don't.
And you see, the wickedness in that today, Kenneth, is where there's been the deception in our colleges and universities and prestigious schools of learning, where the professors are total in-your-face Marxists and communists. As a result of that, they're teaching these kids Marxism and communism, to hate America, to hate God, to hate the family, to hate anything that's moral and ethical and has biblical values. Their parents spend $150,000 to $300,000 to get them what they think is a prestigious education. They come out with a sheepskin with a PhD written on it that's not worth the paper it's written. written on, because it's in a credential in areas that you'll never find a job with that credential. So that same age group today hates America, hates capitalism, because they can't go out and make a living with the credential they have, and so therefore they believe that somehow, some way, the system is wrong, the system has failed, and it's not the system, it's not capitalism, it's not the Constitutional Republic that's failed, it's the fact that we have those today that we've allowed to come into America called the Socialist Marxist Communist and also the Islamic Jihadist that's trying to overthrow, eviscerate, destroy the Constitutional Republic that we have today. We do not live in a democracy. Democracy is mob rule. It is a constitutional republic. I get a little ill, Kenneth, when I hear some of the television anchors calling it, well, it's going to ruin democracy. Well, democracy is already here. That's the thing that's ruining the constitutional republic.
Okay. Dr. Youngblood, can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I remember when I was young, I pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America until the republic. It wasn't a democracy, it's a republic.
That's right, that's right. And by the way, you touched on it just a moment ago, and let me top that loose end. We do not have civics taught today in most of the schools. I'm thankful to see that under the leadership of Ron DeSantis and the State Department of Education in the state of Florida, they have now instituted a requirement that civics, that is government, and United States history, and what history, what the nation is founded on, be taught again in every school in the state of Florida. It may not be in the next 6 months, 6 weeks, but it's now going into law where that is a requirement. I'm delighted with that, thankful for that, and look forward to the change that prayerfully will be made in the long term. So, Kenneth, it demands our prayer. So let's keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
I wanted to comment about your remarks on the Democratic Socialist here in America. And I would like to remind people in a history perspective there that there were six major leaders in 1917 that brought it in. Leon Trotsky, Vladimir Lenin, Lev Kamenev, Grigory Zinoviev, and Nikolai Bukharin, all, and Joseph Stalin. Of all of those that brought it in, every single one of them was executed except for Lenin. Now, Lenin wasn't executed because he died at the age of 54 in 1924, but the other four gentlemen died because of socialism and because of Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin himself, whenever he passed away, his aides were so fearful of him that they didn't even enter the room. This man died alone in a bedroom, and everybody was afraid to go in there. And it was several hours, if not a day, later before they figured out something was wrong. So the brutality of the system itself of socialism will start out with these noble goals there, but all of these individuals that started it were all the elite of their societies. They were all educated. They were all in college there. They were all prestigious individuals, just like these leaders are today. And there is no difference, but yet they told themselves in their own mind that they can do it the right way, which is the height of hypocrisy, because they will fail just as past leaders have failed, and it will bring misery to everybody.
Absolutely. Jim, let me ask you to let me put you on hold for a moment and set the stage, and then we're going to ask Dr. Sheftall to respond to it. If we're looking at and talking about socialism, Marxism, which is communism light, and we see that prevailing in the horizon and the shadows in America today, and if the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party have their way with it, then that will dominate in the midterm elections. With that being said now, what is the potentiality as part of that clamor for the election to sway toward the Socialist Marxist Communist Party? What's the potential of having a plandemic again, and what would that do if that were to take place? And what's on the horizon with the potential of that taking place? Your response, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Sheftall to give us an answer and his thoughts on it.
Well, my response is they've already played their cards and their hand there. I've often told you on many occasions there that people will justify horrendous acts all in the name of, we know what's good for you. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen that during the first COVID. So the likelihood of a second occurrence, whether it's a disease, whether it's an economic crash, or whether it's some other natural disaster, is imminent.
Absolutely. And Dr. Sheftall,
yes.
Thank you for being here. And for our listeners that have not heard you before, let me ask you to, first of all, respond to, in your thoughts, my question that I set for Jim. What are your thoughts of the potential of having another pandemic? What's on the horizon that they could use as an excuse for trying to interfere with the election?
Well, let me just say that the pandemics following SARS-CoV-2 have already happened.
Mm-hmm.
The monkeypox thing was a pandemic that didn't work,
mm-hmm.
but they wanted it to work.
Right.
Remember, they put maps of the United States up and showed places where it was popping up everywhere. Of course, it turned out to be a big nothing burger, which mm-hmm. of course it was. Then they went on to bird flu after that. They even bought 4 million doses of a vaccine for bird flu. And, you know, it's just fizzled out completely.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, after SARS-CoV-2 started to simmer down, they were saying that there was a bird flu that had gotten into 12 animals in the United States, and one person had gotten it, or something silly like that, you know, and trying to scare everybody.
And they destroyed so many hundreds of thousands of chickens and chicken farms as a result of
that. And cows. And this drives up the price. When mm-hmm. you kill a bunch of cows, the price of meat goes way up.
At $17.99 a pound at Walmart right now.
Isn't that it's at Walmart?
At Walmart.
What is it at Publix?
Yes.
But anyway, continuing on. Then we had, of course, the Ebola scare, which you'll remember from very recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in the last few months. And then the Hunter virus on the cruise ship, which fizzled out. Everything fizzles out, by the way. And SARS-CoV-2 should have fizzled out. But people hadn't had a scare since 2010, the 2010 swine flu scare at the hands of President Obama and company. And they believed all the propaganda on the SARS-2 ridiculous thing that didn't exist. And, of course, they fell victim to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people's memories are very short. The country suffered enormously during SARS-CoV-2. I'm sure you are well aware of the details of that. There were people committing suicide. They lost their life savings. They lost where they were living, etc. It just destroyed people. And, you know, here they are getting ready to be all worried about another pandemic coming again.
Yes.
I cannot believe people are this willing to believe someone who's lied to them over and over and over in the past for the entire 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century. Every single, quote, pandemic that has occurred has been fake.
Yes. In fact, Dr. McCullough, and you perhaps know that name, Dr. McCullough just issued an article last week, said, stop depending on the government to protect you.
Right. But Dr. McCullough, I have a very strong beef with Dr. McCullough.
Do you?
Yeah, sure. He believes in these viruses, which don't exist.
Yeah. But he's taking a good stand, though. Don't depend on the government to protect you,
well,
because they're not going to protect us in relationship to the health agencies.
Absolutely not. They are instigating the problem.
That's right.
Of course they're not going to help
you.
They instigated the SARS-CoV-2 problem.
So I don't know if I said thank you, Jim, but Jim, thank you so much if you're still there. Thanks for calling in. Looking forward to what God's going to say through the broadcast today, speaking the hearts and lives of those that we're talking with by way of this broadcast. We have with us today Dr. Reed Sheftall. Dr. Sheftall has a elongated, very colorful background that I believe I need to ask him to just take a moment and give us what's called the bona fides, as to why you are qualified to answer these questions, write the books that you've written, and why are they important for the public?
Well, thank you, Pastor. I don't like talking about myself very
much.
I do.
Go ahead.
But I'll indulge you here. I was a physics major at MIT. And as everybody knows, MIT is a, I call it wall-to-wall magic. It is the most amazing science and math institution. And now humanities has become wonderful there. You know, it's number one in economics in the world. It's number one in econometrics. It's number one in architecture. It just, the list, industrial design, it goes on and on. Even these humanities fields have really taken over the world. So that doesn't qualify me other than I've seen brilliant people operate when I was up there, and I learned a lot from them. Let me just say it that way. And then, of course, I'm a medical doctor, and did three different surgical specialties, so that helps me understand all this medical stuff that's going on with this thing. And finally, I've written three books on COVID, and I've been very interested in it since I discovered all these errors in what they were telling us way back in at the beginning of 2020. I noticed they were saying things that didn't make sense. So I guess that qualifies me to offer my opinion on it. But most of what I say, really all of it that I say I can prove. Mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable saying something unless I qualify it as a speculation.
Yes.
But if I say something dogmatically, believe me, I can prove it. Mm-hmm. Or I wouldn't say it, because these radio broadcasts that we're doing are for the record. You know, they're going to be accessible forever. And I don't want to ruin my reputation because I said something that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That can be proven wrong. And when I made videos about COVID, I felt the same way. I don't want some lifelong record to show that I didn't know what I was talking about. So I'm very careful about what I am willing to go out on a limb and say.
Amen. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes direct through the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today a statement that is very dogmatic, in my opinion, as I see it, is all is not well yet. Somehow there's a mindset from the Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Maybe you fit into one of those three categories. Somehow there's a mindset that it's okay. Everything's all right. It doesn't bother me. It might have bothered my neighbor. It might have been something that was harmful to them, but it's not harmful to me. It's something that's just simply we need to look at and say, well, bad things happen to some people, but it hadn't happened to me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's something that is absolutely factual, and we need to understand it's on the fast track with what will be taking place, in my opinion, before the height of our midterm election. We're talking with Dr. Reed Sheftall. Dr. Sheftall, your book in particular, and I've got one here in my hand. I've critiqued the book about halfway through, critiqued it, and I'm fascinated with some of the things that you've said. It's you're talking about Sanction, the COVID Murders, Volume 2, and this, then, is the third volume, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the forensic investigation. If you would take a minute before our top of our news break and just give a brief thumbnail sketch, what is this book about?
Okay, thank you. This book is really a very important book for people to get and read and understand, and we'll talk about the understanding of it as we proceed today. The reason it's important is because it explains that it proves that there was no SARS-CoV-2 virus. I mean, that is so earth-shattering when you think about it. In other words, this entire thing was made up. All the death and destruction that I just listed for you about people committing suicide, losing their life savings, losing where they were living, and on and on and on, and losing their lives because of the horrible iatrogenic deaths that occurred. Because of remdesivir and putting people on ventilators when it wasn't necessary, and all the neglect of old people in the hospitals and the nursing homes. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't allow their family members to come in and visit them.
Died alone.
And all of this happened because of this made-up virus, and that should shock everyone.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. right after the news break. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University.